I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, we're here with a club update, this time talking all things West Bromwich Albion with our good friend Dan, who you can find at 1878_WBA on Twitter and their website, 1878 as well. Dan, great to have you on. Something that you've been talking about for the better part of a year plus now has finally happened. Tony Pulis, no longer manager of West Bromwich Albion. What was your immediate reaction to hearing the news?
Immediate reaction was, where is the nearest pub? Well, that would be a bar for some people. I think, to be honest, it's just been a long time coming. And it was just, I wouldn't say it was joyous. It just felt like a relief. It felt like that. As an Albion fan, I might get the opportunity to start enjoying being a supporter of my football club as opposed to just enduring it. Yeah,
definitely has been coming. I can kind of see that, where it had been coming for so long that it was like, good, like finally, instead of full blown celebration. I know from speaking with you both off and on air, how much you think he was kind of draining your club. But I have seen some neutrals saying that they think you're at more of a risk having now sacked him than when you had him. Do you think that's the case?
By neutrals, do you mean Tony Pulis' friends in the media?
Or do you mean... Other fans.
Fans of top clubs that don't really pay much attention to what's going on at the West Bromwich Albion. And I don't mean that nastily either. I just think that people see this sort of, we should be careful what we wish for. That's a sentence I've seen written down so many times, and I've heard so many speak it, and it is completely ridiculous. Careful what we wish for. We've won 2 games in 21. So careful what we wish for. But we've won 2 games in 21. The two don't correlate. Do you know what I mean? Any other manager would have probably got the sack 6-7 games back, or maybe even in the summer on the end of what was a dreadful run at the end of last season. And so I just feel, even if you take away all of the Pulis ball style of play, you know, if you take away the fact that we attacking wise we're extremely poor, even defensive wise we're poor. If you take away all of that, pure results, Pulis doesn't deserve to be in a job, and he hasn't been deserving of that for quite a while now. I think his position became one of, it was just indefensible, and I think Pulis himself knew that he was getting the sack for his comments at the end of the game. Against Chelsea, and even in the pre-match press conference on the Friday before the game, you could tell that I think he knew that with a defeat that he was probably facing his P45. So I just feel that, you know, if you look at everything all weighed up, the Albion fans have just had enough of Tony Pulis in terms of his tactics, in terms of the fact that he's so divisive, and many fans literally didn't stand him from the start. When he was first appointed manager, he had people that weren't a fan of him, which is, you know, I was prepared to give him a go, as were most of the Baggies fan base. But the problem is that people will defend him because of his record of simply just grinding out results. But even that has fallen by the wayside now, and it was impossible for him to have kept his job. And so to see all the media, like Alan Shearer, careful what you wish for, he was saying that sort of nonsense on Match of the Day. You know, the pundits all over, the Craig Bellamy, the ex Welsh striker, was throwing his hat into the ring, saying that we must be mad to be sacking a manager that's won 2 games out of 21 in the Premier League. We'd surely be mad if we didn't sack him, surely. But you know, I do get the feeling it's little old West Brom. No one really pays too much attention to us, and they don't really see what's going on from the Baggies fans' perspective. The results, the style of play, the lack of atmosphere at the ground, the amount of apathy that comes with supporting the club at the minute, because we're just so used to what it is, never being able to boss games, never taking the game to any team, no matter who it is, no matter whether we're home or away, no matter what their standing is, no matter what league they're in. We will play the same style of football in every single match, and it is completely unwatchable. It is only watchable on the rare occasion you pull off a win. And even then, if that doesn't happen very often, you know, it just becomes extremely, extremely dull. And so, towards the end, there weren't many people sticking up for him. And even those that really did, you know, enjoy Pulis's reign for whatever reason, we're starting to climb on the fence and then fall down the other side and realise that Tony Pulis had seen out his time at the Baggies. His time had come to an end.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, we will never ask you to mention his name ever again on this show. Now that he who shall not be named, now that he has been sacked, there were obviously players that he favored over others. You'd mentioned before on the show that it was such a waste of talent. This might be one of the most talented Baggies teams you'd ever seen. Which players do you think will be seeing more of minutes-wise and more from ability-wise with a new man at the helm?
I think minutes-wise, you have to look at probably Nasir Chadli as the main one. If played in a central role, he can cause damage. He's an extremely good player, very technical. Maybe does shy away from your tackling side of it. Maybe doesn't get back as quick as Tony Pulis would have liked. But I think with a manager that can channel his approach properly, he can cause a lot of trouble for opponents. You know, it's tough because he was close to leaving the club, I think, in the summer, and there's been questions about whether he's so happy here. But, you know, who's saying we don't get a manager in who's willing to play him in his correct position and get the most out of him? But then you look at Ollie Burke, who came in from Germany, from Leipzig in the summer. Much favoured player. And he's had like little niggles and injuries, and I'm not sure how many of them have been that believable. I just think that he's probably not what Pulis fancied. And again, the reasoning for that might well be that he's a flair player who isn't as defensively minded as Pulis wanted him to be. And, you know, not every single player you're going to be able to look at in every single side is going to be able to do the defensive duties that Tony Pulis wants from a side to 100%, and even the ones that are being tasked with doing that haven't even been doing it properly. So it will be great to see Chadli and Oliver Burke getting into the team and hopefully creating some danger. But then you've got Krikoviak, who's been playing in a defensive role in a midfield three a lot of the time, alongside like Livermore. And it's just, I mean, you can tell how frustrated he is, because he shows glimpses of quite, you know, star quality, superb player. He's won the Europa League twice with Sevilla. He's got signed by PSG for tens of millions of pounds. We managed to nab him online, and we're asking him to play as if he's Claudio Jakob.
Yeah.
It's not his game. You need to get him further up the pitch. Fair enough. He's going to sit deeper when the opposition have got the ball. But he needs to be told that he can get forward and help create up the other end of the pitch, because he certainly has got that ability. His passing quality looked fantastic, but he just didn't been given the opportunity to showcase that in any way. And I think a lot of the Baggies fans, well, I wouldn't say a lot, sorry, that's the wrong word to use, a few of the Baggies fans have stated that they haven't felt he's been putting in 100% the last few games. But you know, he's no doubt demoralised by the situation. He's joined a club hoping to be a star man in a World Cup year, and he's not getting anywhere near the kind of amount of time on the ball to even showcase his talents in any way. And I feel sorry for him, to be honest. And it's the same with Kieran Gibbs. Kieran Gibbs at left back, he can bomb on and create chances. That's more his game. Yeah, he's defensively decent, but you know, with the right kind of manager, Kieran Gibbs is going to be asked to overlap numerous times during the game and get crosses in and look inside to look for the 1-2s. But at the Albion, of course, he's you know, a left back. He's almost played as a left centre back with the left winger coming and tucking in at left back, because that's how defensive we are. So I just think, again, I know it's, I've said this many months ago, that to solve all of Albion's problems on the pitch, off the pitch, whatever, you get rid of Tony Pulis, and I'm hoping it's a catalyst for seeing some decent quality football. But I just think that whoever it is, it's going to take a little bit of time, because this team are going to be so used to rigid defensive drills on the training ground every single day that it's probably going to take a while before it clicks up the other end of the field again, you know.
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, so much talent, especially in attack, where you have Rondon, who's perennially underrated, although has not been fantastic in what I've seen of him this season, unfortunately. But you also brought in Jay Rodriguez. You already had, as you mentioned, Chadley. Matt Phillips had a really good run last season before he got hurt. You mentioned Oliver Burke already. Like, there's talent here, as you said. And hopefully whoever comes in next will be able to get the best out of them. Are there any names floating around that you hear are likely, or is there somebody that you wish would take the job?
I think that we need to avoid this. The club, well, the local media reporting that the club are looking for a manager with Premier League experience. But that just narrows down the pool of managers available to about three. I don't like that at all. I really don't like that. You know, just because a manager hasn't managed in the Premier League before doesn't mean they're not going to be capable of doing it. It's just so one-track-minded thinking, so one-eyed. We need to be looking at every available option. If you've exhausted all of those options and you do come up with someone that has got Premier League experience, then maybe we can accept that. But personally, I would like to avoid the names Pardew. I'd like to avoid Allardyce. And I'd probably like to avoid Pearson. I would personally be looking at Michael O'Neill, not Martin O'Neill, Michael O'Neill, the Northern Ireland manager, as someone that could maybe come in and do a job. Chris Wilder at Sheffield United has done a fantastic job there, but he's been there so long and that's his team that he's probably going to be really tough to prize him away. And a bit of a left field pick would be Graham Potter, who's managing over in Sweden. And he's got the team he's currently managing. He's gotten promoted from like the fourth tier of the Swedish league to their top tier. I think the club's Östersunds or Östersunds, and they absolutely love him out there. Apparently, he applied for a Sunderland job. Apparently the Sunderland hierarchy looked at him and he wasn't so interested in the job. So maybe being a, you know, he used to play for the Baggies in the late 1990s. Maybe be interested in have a look at joining us. But, you know, I think that with the position that we're in, I don't think we're going to go for a manager that's only managed in the Swedish league. And that's with all due respect to them, you know. So I don't know. It could be a couple of weeks wait with Gary Megson in caretaker charge, and then someone just comes up that we're not even expecting. That's what happened when we appointed Alan Irvine. Nobody even saw that coming. So you just don't know who we're going to go for. But personally, I want someone that's going to be able to get Baggies fans off their feet again. I don't want to be going from Pulis to Pardew, because it could potentially be like going from a frying pan to the fire. If it's seen as a short-term option, just to keep us safe in the Premier League this season, then that might be something that, you know, that Baggies fans will come on board with. I personally don't want that, but I would be more accepting of that if it's just a short-term solution. But I don't want to long-term be giving another manager of that ilk the reins to, you know, not bring the club on in terms of a kind of a forward-thinking playing style, which is, I think, what the fans need to see after so long of not having that. And I know that some fans from other clubs might look at that as a bit snobby, a bit like, you know, or you know, West Brom mid-table team, accept what you've got. You know, you've got an average team, and if you stay up by playing defensive football, that's great, you know. But what is that really? You get to 40 points and that's your achievement, and then what, you just aim to do that again, playing the same way again the next season? As a football fan, you want to be excited at football matches and enjoy them. And because we haven't been able to do that for so long, it would just be so refreshing if we could have a manager that wants to take us forward in terms of our playing style and to utilise the talents of the players available. Because I think that was Pulis' problem. You know, he's great at being a firefighter and coming and taking a team that's maybe not so great and not performing so great. But to Pulis' slight credit, he's built this team of decent players, but he just hasn't known how to utilise them in terms of an attacking sense. And so we want someone to come in and to, you know, let the reins off a bit and, you know, let Matty Phillips start on the right and let Ollie Burke start on the left and, you know, get some crosses in for Rondon, because I'm still of no doubt that Rondon, he can score goals in this league. And I just think that his confidence has been shot. And I just think that that's mainly due to the fact that he's just chasing shadows all game, most weeks.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. What do you think we'll see from the Albion for the rest of this season? I mean, obviously, what, again, the neutral's thought was, like I saw Lineker say, you know, they sacked Pulis, now they should hire Pulis. Like that mentality of just staying fit, staying pat, obviously not something that you actually want. But what do you think we'll see, and what are you hoping for the rest of this season?
I think being realistic, I think we just need to survive in the Premier League. I think long term, I think we'd like to see some progression in terms of what we're doing on the pitch and having a mantra that isn't so solidly defensively boring, but isn't even solid anymore. Do you know what I mean? I must sound like a broken record, but it's just so been so frustrating the last few years as a fan. And so I can accept short term us doing what we need to do to stay in the league. If that's needing to shore up the defence in certain areas in certain matches and try and hit teams on the break and then go into other games, maybe home matches against teams around us and you know, doing the business going forward, then I can accept that. But I don't want to see us sitting back and doing what we've been doing for the last 3 years under Pulis long term. I think this season, whatever we need to do to stay up, we should do it. But I think there needs to be a plan going forward that's going to get bums on seats. And I mean, there's so many fans who've stated, and these aren't people that are typically, we've got a really good fan base at the Baggies. And typically we've sat and watched some absolute crap through the late 80s, early 90s, and towards the late 90s as well. Some of the teams that we put out were like unwatchable, really rubbish teams. Like, I don't mean that offensively towards the players that played for us at the time, but compared to what we have now, the teams didn't have the quality. So you'd accept that we were going to go into games and get battered, but the fans would still turn up and get behind the team. And I think that now we can see that we've got quality players and we've invested a lot of money, and people pay a lot of money to watch matches now. The ticket prices in the Premier League aren't cheap. And so in order to get something back from that, the answer isn't 30% possession, trying to win 1-0, but actually losing 4-0. So I don't know if you can see where I'm coming from with that. Mm.
Yeah, I do think it's time for you guys to get a little bit more excitement there at the Hawthorns. And agree with you on relatively same people. I know I brought it up on the show before, but when I was there, there was a guy there with his kids, and he was like, "We're not coming back till Tony Pulis is gone." And that has now happened. Everyone can rest easy and look forward to a brighter tomorrow. Regardless, I actually would be interested to get your take on that. Knowing that sacrificing Pulis is what got you there, if you were in the relegation battle, if you ended up getting relegated, do you think the future is still brighter, even if you went down, than if you had kept him?
It's a tough question. Financially, of course not. And finance is king, you know, money is king to everybody in the Premier League, and everybody at the Baggies, the new owners, you know, money is important. As a fan, for me, match day experience, going to away matches, enjoying the game, maybe winning a few matches more in the Championship. Who knows, though? It might be tough. Look what's happened to Sunderland. You don't know. But, you know, I'll be supporting the Baggies, whatever happens, whether in the Premier League or whether in the League Two, the Conference, or the Midlands Premier League. It doesn't really make no difference to me. I'll still be a Baggies fan. And so in terms of being a supporter, yeah, it's nice to see us in the Premier League competing against the big teams. But I think so many of us Baggies fans will always be here anyway. So if we do get relegated and we don't survive, and so be it. But of course I want us to stay up. I want us to be as big as we can and to be as pushing as high as we can, you know, but it isn't the be all and end all for probably supporters of a club like ours, because we've been through the promotions and relegations and the playoffs and the excitement of all those things. And sometimes, you know, those days out when you get big games, they are what makes football so enjoyable. Mm. That's I've swerved the answer there a little bit, but
it sounds like the answer you were looking for was yes, you're better off now regardless.
Yeah
All right, thanks so much, Dan, for taking the time out. Tell the folks where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at 1878_WBA, and you can find my personal account at TheWatts22. Thanks for listening. Cheers for having me on, Kev.
Yeah, always nice chatting with you. Catch you next time.
Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.